Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
How good is a beautiful Canberra winter day? Who said boo? I mean, there's nothing quite like it. Yesterday, the sun was out. It was beautiful. I digress. We are in week four of our Prayer Works series. Prayer is one of the most wonderful privileges we have as Christians. We get to talk to the Creator of heaven and earth. He wants to talk to us. We get to relate to, know more about, hear from, and receive from the Creator of heaven and earth. It's a relationship, it's not a formula, it's not a list, it's a rich, rich treasure we get as followers of Christ, of Jesus. Prayer works. We deliberately called this series Prayer Works for two reasons. The first one is that prayer works. Prayer is powerful. It makes a difference. It changes us. It changes the difficult situations we face. It opens doors for miracles. It opens doors for freedom and for healing and for breakthrough. James 5 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. That simply means Elijah was just like us. And he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Wow. Elijah prayed, and something amazing happened. When we pray, something amazing happens. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. Prayer is inviting God into every situation we face and allowing him to do what only he can do. As I've already said, prayer works. It is powerful. It is effective. But prayer is also work. Has anyone noticed that? That's the second part of prayer works. Prayer is also work, not because we have to bring the answers to our prayers. That's God's job. That's God's work. Prayer is work because sometimes, and I would say often, we need to keep at it. And that's the work of prayer. We saw this in week one when we heard about the persistent widow who received what she was asking for because she kept at it. Ask and keep on asking. She kept turning up. She didn't give in. That's an example of the work of prayer. And the reality is, I would say, for just about every person in this room, we all have things that we are praying for and waiting on, and that's part of the work of prayer. Maybe you're praying for a partner. Maybe you're praying for healing in your body. Maybe you're praying for a wayward child, or for a baby, or for a house, or for a job, or there's something in your life that you are praying for, and you're in the work of prayer. So what do we need to know during what I am calling the waiting zone, the waiting room? Who loves a waiting room? Oh my gosh. You go to the doctor and they say, just have a seat. And you think, oh Lord, I could be here for 3 hours, depending on the doctor. I don't like waiting rooms. Have you been praying for something and you're still waiting on it? Anyone? Just two or three of you, okay. The rest of you up the front for prayer. Have you been given assurance of something but you haven't seen it yet? Have you been asking and you keep on asking but it hasn't been given to you yet? What is our posture? What is our response during this time? Because I don't know about you, but I find it tough to be in the waiting room of prayer. I find it tough to keep waiting, to stay strong in the waiting, to stay in faith while I'm waiting, to add endurance to my faith, because it's faith and endurance that inherit the promise. It's not just faith, it's not just endurance. It says in Hebrews 6, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and endurance inherit the promise. They work together. We need them both. Faith believes and has an assurance that we will get what we're praying for, and endurance keeps us standing and believing when the answer doesn't come in our timing. Isn't that true? So how do we not question God while we're waiting? How do we not question ourselves and give up and not give up? How do we not give in to some things that we can get in our heart in that waiting room if we're not careful? How do we not give in to hopelessness or disappointment? And this is really important because no one wants the bad seeds of hopelessness or disappointment to be planted inside of them. And that, can I say, is easy to happen in that wait. Because if they get planted, we will find ourselves in a season of extreme spiritual vulnerability. It's like our immunity is low. And there's confusion and noise, and it's harder to hear clearly, and it affects our heart. And the Bible says that, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Everything happens, everything flows out of what happens in our heart. And if we find ourselves, if we aren't careful, if we find ourselves with hopelessness and disappointment, if we aren't careful, we can begin to question if we will ever receive what we're praying for. Or we can even begin to question God if those things are in our heart. And someone might say to you, gee, isn't God good? And you say, oh, yeah, he's good to some. You don't say that out loud, probably, but you might say it internally. Because something's taken root in your heart. I remember going on a walk with Paul. Paul and I, we're walkers. On our honeymoon, we started walking and we haven't stopped. We often say, it's not a Marshall holiday if we haven't walked, you know, 10 kilometres. And we were walking and talking as we do. And I was telling Paul some things. And he said, well, honey, you just need to remember this. Just remember, God loves you. And I went, oh, really? Not out loud, but internally. Pastor Mel, I know better. But that was, I'm being honest with you this morning. What about in the boat? Jesus sleeping in the boat. Because in the waiting room, sometimes it feels like Jesus is sleeping, right? He's asleep. There's a storm. I heard these words come out of, I mean, I've preached this message how many times in the last 33 years? Quite a few. But I heard these words come out from inside of me. Don't you care? Because that's how it feels in the waiting room. Don't you care what's going on? Have you fallen asleep? If we find ourselves there today, we have some work to do. I went, wow, girl, you've got some work to do. The work of bringing disappointment or hopelessness before God so that those bad seeds don't take root. And we can do that just by simply going to God in prayer, or by getting, if you need help, get someone else to pray with you. I have 2 points today about how we stay in faith and endure during the waiting zone as we continue to pray and wait for God to move. 2 things to remember, very simple. The first one is this: your prayer has been heard. God heard you. His ears are not silent. They're not blocked. Because I think a common experience for everyone who is waiting on God to answer a prayer is this: are you even listening, God? Have you heard me? Are you doing anything? God, where are you? I mean, Job said that. He said, I look in front of me, he's not there, behind me, I can't find him. He's not to the left or he's not to the right. Are my prayers falling on deaf ears? Is anything ever happening? Daniel 10 says this. Then he said, this is an angel talking to Daniel. He said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven, and I have come in answer to your prayer. How good is that? An angel came to Daniel and he said, since the first day you began to pray, your request has been heard in heaven. In this situation, Daniel had been fasting and praying for 3 full weeks with no response. And then this angel showed up and he said, God heard you from day one. From the first time you spoke, God heard you. Psalm 34 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are toward their cry for help. Some translations say his ears are open to their cry. God is listening. God has heard you. God is with you. God is working in the situation. Prayer works, but sometimes prayer is a lot of work in the way of persistence and trusting God with the request despite what you see or don't see. See, the waiting zone or the waiting room is the trust zone. That's where we trust. Verse 13, it goes on to say, but for 21 days the spirit of the prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. What does that even mean? I'm glad you asked. The prince of the kingdom of Persia was not a human. It was a demonic force influencing a nation, sitting over a nation, trying to oppose what God was doing, just like there are spiritual forces sitting over this great city trying to oppose what God is doing. But the good news today is Jesus defeated them. That's good news. And we are here to pull them down and to see Canberra touched and influenced and become a city for God. Yes, we are. And our prayers are not without effect. Our prayers are making a difference. And this passage, it goes on to say, and it talks about Michael. Who's he? He is the archangel known as a protector of God's people. How good is that? You have a protector. When spiritual forces come against us, we have a protector fighting for us as well. You have a protector fighting for you. Daniel prayed and nothing happened straight away. But what appeared to him as silence was actually a delay caused by resistance. Daniel couldn't see it, But while he waited, a battle was happening in the heavenly realm. Now, not every delay in prayer is a spiritual battle. There are lots of reasons why we wait. But we do have to wait sometimes. Even when we can't see anything happening. Even when we're tempted to think, God, you're not doing anything. That's where the trust comes in. God, even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. That's the truth. That's the truth. He never stops working. He's not distant. He's not ignoring us. He's near. And our faith is not wasted in the waiting. Bummer. Our faith is strengthened in the waiting. Our faith is built in the waiting. Our spiritual muscles grow in the waiting. Our spiritual muscles grow as we persist. Our spiritual muscles grow as we trust. Our spiritual muscles grow as you say, God, I'm not letting go. I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep believing you. I'm going to keep praying. I know that you're hearing me. I know that I can't see anything going on at the moment, but I know you're working. I know you know the right time, and I know you know the right way. And my job is to just keep praying, keep standing, and keep believing. He hears our prayers. And the second point is, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. When we read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those four books at the beginning of the New Testament, they are an eyewitness account of Jesus' time on earth. And as you read through those books, you will see that prayer was pretty important to Jesus. When he was weary and tired, he'd go and pray. He prayed all night before he chose his disciples. Before he went to the cross, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, this is an example to us. We're weary and tired. Let's follow Jesus' example and go and pray. When we've got a decision that we have to make, like when he was choosing his disciples, let's go and pray. When we're in a trial and we're thinking, God, I don't know if I can follow your will, because that's what he said in the garden. Not my will, but yours be done. Let's go and pray. Not only that, in Luke 23, Jesus was talking to Peter, one of his disciples, and he said, Peter, you're just about to go through a really hard time. Who doesn't want that word from the Lord? Not me. But he did. He said, Peter, it's going to be tough. He said, but it's like, I've prayed for you. And when you get through, go and strengthen your brothers. And then, John 17, the whole of John 17, which is just before he went to the garden, just before he was going to die on the cross, the whole of John 17 is a prayer. Jesus is praying. What was he thinking about before he went to die on the cross? Not himself. He was praying. He was praying for his disciples, but not only that, he was praying for you. He was praying for me. Don't believe me? Let me read it. John 17, I am not asking on behalf of these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for us. Prayer. It blows me away. Don't you just love it when people pray for you? Some of you. I love it when people pray for me. I can feel their prayers. So what do you think Jesus is doing right now? Just swanning around with the angels in heaven? Hanging with the disciples? No. Romans 8 says this: who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, but rather was raised from the dead and is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. What's he doing? Interceding for us. Hebrews 7, therefore he is also able to save forever those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. What is Jesus doing right now? He's watching you and he's praying for you and he's praying with you. And he knows the power of prayer. And he invites us to come to him with our prayers. But not only that, he sympathizes with every single thing we're going through because he's been here. He's walked on this earth. And he knows what it's like to be a human. Come to me, he's saying. Let's pray for it together. When you pray, he's praying. When you're exhausted and you're in the waiting room and you're waiting, he's praying for you. He's standing in the gap and praying for that thing you're asking the Father for. At our all-church prayer meetings, we spend time. These are prayer requests from people in our church. And we spend time in our all-church prayer meetings praying for these prayers. These are salvation prayer cards that you have put in for people that you want to see come to Christ. And we spend time in every all-church prayer meeting praying over the names of these people. Andrew right here. Father, we pray that you would touch Andrew. Lord, we want to see Andrew come to you. Remove the blindness from his eyes. Lord, bring people around Andrew. We pray. Father, this person needs healing in their body. And so we pray and we pray and we ask and we intercede. That's what Jesus does for us. That's a picture of our high priest who intercedes for us when we're in the waiting room, when we're in the waiting zone, when we think, oh, I don't know if I can go. I don't know if I can keep going, God. He's like, Jesus is saying, strengthen her. Mel, she needs you. Strengthen her right now. That encourages me. I hope it encourages you this morning. Jesus hears your prayer and he's praying for you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't think he's silent. His silence does not mean he's not there. His delay does not mean he's not coming through. Heard you and he's praying for you, and he will answer you at the right time because he knows the right time. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I want to pray for those who are in the waiting room today, the waiting zone. Pray that you would strengthen, encourage, touch, fill with hope. Right now, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, fall afresh on every person in this room, I pray. All of us are waiting on something. All of us are calling out to you for something or someone, Lord. And I pray strength. I pray faith and endurance, working together. And anything that comes against that faith and that endurance, Lord, any resistance, Father, in Jesus' name, we bind that. We bind that up right now. Thank you for your power, your authority, and your victory, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And while you have your eyes closed, there's one final prayer that we are going to pray today. And that is a prayer. If you are here in this room and you have not ever asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, then this is your time and today is your day. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. So, if you would like to commit your life to Jesus, we're going to pray a prayer together out loud. And after we've prayed it, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold, and that is to raise your hand so that one of our team can come over to you, give you a Bible, and pray for you. I encourage you, if you have never done that, or if you need to recommit your life to Him, you need to get your heart right with God, I encourage you to pray with us this morning. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, dying for my sin. Forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart. I want to live in relationship with you. Help me to follow you for the rest of my days.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.